John Keefe usually spends his days here at WNYC in the newsroom, but yesterday he became a hacker. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brooke.
So explain how you hacked into your own voicemails and then the voicemails of your colleagues.
And just to be clear, we all did it together. I did not break into anybody else's phones unauthorized. Basically, here's the deal. A lot of cell phone companies allow you to check your voicemail from your own phone without a password. Right. So if you're somewhere else and you're at somebody else's phone, you need a 4-digit code to hear your messages, but not from your own phone. The way that works is that the voicemail system sees your caller ID and goes, oh, that's Brooke. I'm okay with that. Here are your voicemails. What I did with the computer is I paid $10 to a service that fakes caller ID numbers. So I put in my own phone number into the computer and then got into my voicemail system. The voicemail system said, oh, John's calling. Here are your voicemail messages.
So this service, you paid 10 bucks in order to have it spoof or fake the caller ID simply by you plugging in somebody's phone number, seems like a clear violation of privacy. This doesn't seem legal.
Well, the spoofing of caller ID numbers in and of itself is not illegal. Under the Truth in Caller ID Act of 2009, it's clearly not legal if you're faking a caller ID with, quote, the intent to defraud, cause harm, or wrongfully obtain anything of value.
Who's to say if a voicemail is of value?
I'm not sure. But it seems to me, if not illegal, definitely unethical.
And what would the legitimate purpose of such a service be?
Maybe you want to make a phone call to somebody and you don't want them to know what your real phone number is. They actually pitch it as a privacy tool, that you can make a phone call without having to reveal your own phone number.
Now, I have a Verizon phone and I always have to put in the 4-digit password.
That's right. And that's true for Verizon phones, actually. A spokesperson told me that. We tried 4 different companies. We tried AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon. And we were able to actually listen to voicemail messages, and again, all voluntarily, of both of the AT&T phones and one of the Sprint phones. We weren't able to listen to the 2 T-Mobile phones that we had or the Verizon accounts either.
The bottom line here is that it's unbelievably easy to hack into anybody's voicemail if they have AT&T or Sprint. Is that not true?
A spokesman for AT&T told me that they have this feature that allows you to access your voicemail from your own phone without a password, and that they strongly encourage that people set their passwords for that. A spokesperson for Sprint said that they, too, offer that option, and they warn their customers that when they're setting up their voicemail, that if they don't add that 4-digit PIN, that it could leave your voicemail vulnerable. I'll tell you that the ease in which I was able to use a computer without a password and without my own phone to hear the voicemail of my wife from the day before was really startling.
Okay, so in this consumer news you can use segment, you offer 3 bits of advice to protect privacy.
That's right. So the first one appears to be that if you add these 4-digit codes to your ability to hear your voicemail, even from your own handset, that is a help. The second thing is that you can delete your voicemail messages, right? If there's nothing to listen to, there's nothing to listen to. If you're not interested in adding that 4-digit code, that's another way to do it. The third thing is that every time we did this little trick, a byproduct of it was that it left a missed call on our phone from our own phone number. If you ever were to get that on your phone, I'd be very suspicious.
Watch out if you appear to have called yourself.
Exactly.
John, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Brooke.
John Keefe is WNYC's senior executive producer for news.